The title of this article is Obesity Guidelines Rigged to Push Big Pharma's Skinny Jabs on Kids. The subtitle is A New BMJ Investigation Reveals That the American Academy of Pediatrics' Aggressive Push to Give Powerful GLP-1 Weight Loss Drugs to Children is Steeped in Undisclosed Financial Gain, Ties to the Very Companies Selling Them. The latest weight loss craze GLP-1 receptor agonists like Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro is now shaping the medical guidelines used to treat children. A new BMJ investigation has found that the American Academy of Pediatrics' S. 2023 Childhood Obesity Guidelines, already controversial for recommending weight loss drugs for kids as young as 8, are riddled with undisclosed financial ties to the very companies Kenmare making these injections. The study's authors warn that these conflicts, combined with irregularities in how the guidelines were developed, mean parents, doctors, and policymakers should view the TREPI's recommendations with extreme caution. Aggressive drug-first approach for children. The TREPI guidelines urge doctors to offer weight loss drugs to all adolescents over 12 with obesity, and even consider prescribing them to children aged 8-11. This goes far beyond other countries like the UK, Sweden, and Australia, which recommend avoiding such drugs in children under 12 except in rare cases. After the TREPI guidelines were released, U.S. prescriptions for anti-obesity drugs in children jumped 38%. Undisclosed ties to drug makers. The BMJ found systemic conflicts of interest. The TREPI accepted nearly $2 million in corporate sponsorship from companies developing GLP-1 drugs between 2012 and 2024. Over 1 in 5 TREPI leaders received direct payments from these companies covering travel, lodging, meals, and in some cases, tens of thousands in consulting fees. More than a third of the TREPI's own guideline committee members also took payments from GLP-1 manufacturers. None of these financial connections were disclosed in the obesity guidelines or technical report. The TREPI documents merely state that any conflicts have been resolved through a process approved by the board of directors whose members also received payments from GLP-1 developers. As the authors note, financial influence can permeate whole systems of medical governance, eroding public trust. Shaky evidence, ignored risks. The guidelines' endorsement of GLP-1 drugs for teens rests primarily on two industry-funded trials, both still in the recruitment stage at the time of the TREPI-P. Systematic review and no trials at all in children under 12. Risks, costs, treatment duration, and stopping strategies were not meaningfully discussed. This lack of transparency and weak evidence base is especially concerning given the known and emerging risks of GLP-1Z, pancreatitis, gallbladder disease, kidney injury, nutrient deficiencies, mood changes, and significant muscle loss potentially, 15-40% of total weight lost. Long-term safety is unknown, part of a bigger, no pun intended, trend. These findings fit into a larger pattern we've been tracking. The reclassification of obesity as a chronic disease by the AMA, FDA, and other bodies, paving the way for a projected $100 billion billion obesity drug market by 2030. GLP-1s are now being pushed not just for weight loss, but for preventive use in people without obesity, potentially putting millions on lifelong injections. Yet obesity is often a modifiable condition tied to diet, activity, sleep, stress, and environment, not a destiny requiring permanent pharmaceutical management. The danger is that aggressive drug promotion, backed by conflicted guidelines, sidelines proven non-drug approaches that can achieve similar metabolic benefits without the cost or unknown risks. A call for independence and true informed consent, the BMJ authors call for independent, non-industry-funded trials of GLP-1 drugs in children, and for stronger protections against GRI, corporate influence in medical institutions. Until then, parents and patients deserve full transparency not only about the drug's benefits and risks, but also about lifestyle-based alternatives that can improve weight and health naturally, which we've discussed previously here. Before we write prescriptions for life, we should be asking, are we building health or just building dependence? Please share this article widely in your networks.